The Chris Perillo Show's coverage of Northern Voice is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
When I was doing low-carb dieting, I had to avoid rice. But now that I'm no longer doing low-carb dieting, I can actually talk to rice. Eric Rice, that is. And I think he's gunning for the number one rice on Google. Am I correct?
Do you know that rice is a staple food in many cultures? Rice feeds about a third to almost a half of the world's population.
Now, what about rice's feeds?
No, I have three feeds, and I could never understand why anybody would want, like, three RSS feeds, for example, and now I got one. Don't know how it happened. It just did.
You're doing a lot of things now. You're not just doing the Eric Rice Show, but I believe you're also working for Weblogs, Inc.
I am. Yeah, I'm the executive producer of Weblogs, Inc., and so things like Gadling and Autoblog, which just got sponsored by Volvo. Of course, the renaissance of Engadget. I mean, and that's kind of stressful when you look at all of the properties there that Jason's brought online. Wow, it's like that's a lot of media to handle. I mean, I just came out of the session on managing multimedia content and whatnot, and I push probably, I'm about ready to tip 100 gigabytes a month. And, yeah, it's not an issue, but I'm just one guy. How is that going to get for other people? You know, you have tons of content issues, you know, or bandwidth issues as well. So, yeah, it's certainly a challenge, and it keeps me busy, and I'm going to start doing a lot more work with media and kids. Coming up with video, which is kind of fun because it ties into things together. It's like doing video projects with kids. So it's you become a massive time manager, I think, when you take on a bunch of projects and whatnot.
Is that like an Eric Rice Jr. show?
I don't know. I actually, the idea was, it actually came from Eli Chapman from Unmediated, of, hey, what if video creation could be as basic of a skill as painting or... You know, we can't think about it, but this is a 100-year concept. I mean, we're not going to see the results of this. But my kid knows how to. My kid's four. I got a 2.5-year-old and a 4-year-old. They know how to make breakfast. They know, you know, waffle goes in the toaster. Well, can we film that in little movies and put it together as one? And, yeah, I'd have to do the edit, but could they be trained to break apart this linear process and recognize the result? Because I was working on a video blog the other day, and my son walked by, and he saw me working in the software program. He's like, "Dad, he's making a movie." I'm like, "What? How'd you know that?" Because I don't think I really talk about it. I just do it. I'm playing with clips, and even with podcasts, you know, I'm scrubbing back and forth, and I'm cutting, you know, doing all the stuff that we do when we make this stuff. And so it kind of said, well, let's just see. If anything, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, chilling out with the kids and the video camera, you know.
So you're the one who started the rumor that Little John was going to be writing for Locker Gnome, correct?
You heard that promo, yeah. Well, I don't know how it started. It just, you know, I don't know. I don't reveal my sources. But
what?
I would like to say I protect my sources. And I think it's a great addition to your team. Congratulations.
It happens, you know. We try to keep the celebrity writers on the down low, but so you've been doing this. You weren't a Johnny Come Lately onto the scene. You've been doing the whole audio thing for years. And we were talking about it when we first met in San Jose a few months before GnomeDex happened. We were talking about, you know, the whole space, and it was before the whole podcasting term kind of caught on. You've been doing this for years. What in your mind really makes this all that much different from what both you and I have been involved in the audiovisual space?
Well, it's distribution. I mean, to me, podcasting or whatever you want to call it is all about the distribution technology that, you know, people make radio shows and then they just distribute it as an enclosure. And I've been complaining about that for years, back in 2002, you know, complaining to Adam, okay, how do I get enclosures again? Because he already had software that supported it. There wasn't much that was out there. It actually motivated me, the fact that, oh, wow, people are starting to put together software to do this, and Steve Gilmore gave me a little bit of motivation. I know if I didn't say that, he would be giving me grief. I've wanted to do my own show, which there's always a crew of people, a cast of colorful characters, but it made it a lot easier. So really now the big challenge for me is transferring all this knowledge that I've had over the past several years and also downgrading my equipment. You know, I come into the game with a much different equipment set than everybody else, and it's like, I want to try this with a USB-only mic. you know, and that's kind of where I'm at right now, and in trying to show people the ropes. You know, anybody that complains about, well, I've done this since, you know, well, get over it. You know, go out and mentor somebody and make, because ultimately, whether it's a video blog, a podcast, a blog, it's all about everyday people making media. It might suck today, but it might not suck tomorrow, and that's ultimately, you know, the big drive, I think.
So you think a lot of podcasts suck today?
No, but some people do. Some people say, this is awful, but I went back to all my archives and listened to stuff that we did in 2001, and it was like, oh, God, this is, yeah, I'm going to wait till like 10 more years, you know, when I'm in my 40s, and my voice has got that deep radio sound, and then I'll listen to, you know, my best of crap from 2001, and it's awful. But, and, you know, people are very quick to be snap and go, well, this is awful, I'm not going to listen to it. Yeah, come back in a year. Because there are some people now that might be a little rough around the edges because they're brand new to the concept of talking into a microphone in a room by themselves. That's not an easy thing to do. And that's nothing to do with technology. It's just not easy to do. You're going to be nervous. You're going to sound. Your voice is going to crack. Well, do it every day for a year and then go back and listen to the stuff that you first started out with. And you'll see a world of difference. And so for everybody that's all critical of it, well, don't worry about it. I don't think that should discourage anybody from doing it.
Or listening.
Or listening, yeah.
Yep. So you haven't quite hit the ceiling as far as getting shut down by your ISP. How have you avoided that with as much gigabytes as you've transferred?
I kind of am my own ISP, for one. Well, you know, I'm in a billion projects all at once, so there's lots of bandwidth in my personal little world. So, no, I don't run that risk.
Well, it totally makes sense to me. I can listen loud and clear. I can hear it.
Well, that's good. That's good. And
I'm downloading every day, you know, to make sure that you crash and burn.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you four times. That actually happened to my video blogs. I got a brand new, not a brand new computer, but I got a new computer and I installed a video aggregator on it, Ant for the Mac. And man, I downloaded everyone's video blogs, mine. I had just reposted like 7 video blogs from a year ago. And it's like, well, all right, I'm not worried about it. But that could be an issue for new people coming online and testing new podcast software. I mean, it was an issue early on, but that's still an issue that nobody's talking about too much. So you got to be careful about that.
When do you think, or what do you think is going to cause that conversation to really get started in terms of the bandwidth issue?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to see some trends right now, which is the natural trend where the traditional news aggregators, the news readers, are supporting downloads. I'll let you in on a secret. I do not subscribe to a single podcast.
Neither do we, by the way.
But
we download things.
I actually download them right now because the automatic download just got so out of hand on my computer, and now I don't commute anymore, so I know I have to go and look at show notes and find out, and plus always trying to find out, you know, what's the new stuff. You know, there's a few I might go and try and listen to on a regular basis, but it's download only. It's kind of funny, I'm going backwards in podcasting because my news aggregator now supports it, and it will download it or download it to iTunes because enclosures are supportive. And that's what's really getting me working so hard in video blogging, because video blogging is podcasting. It's just RSS enclosures automatically. I'm a content guy.
So do you wear that flaming shirt every time you do a podcast?
No, but I do typically wear a nuclear orange, more, I guess, cantaloupe, colored shirt at every event. But since it's freezing cold, I am wearing all black. I'm Californian, I guess, and I'm up here in a different place, so I have to be different. But, no, I usually do. So, my wife bought me a bright orange shirt of a different ilk because she got it. She's like, look, she opened up the newspaper to this one. We had a photo shoot, and this photographer came out to our house. What shirt did I wear? By design, that nuclear orange shirt. But so, in a way, yes, but I don't wear really that shirt that's in the poster that much.
Well, that's disappointing to hear.
Well, I'll work on it. I'll...
You know. I'm unsubscribing right away.
Well, if I move up to Seattle,
ooh,
I will walk around town with like a big, you know, Chris Perillo head sign.
Oh, you know what? I think we can skip the whole head sign thing. But we'd love it if you moved up to Seattle.
Got to hurry it up before the end of summer hits, because if I miss that window, then got to wait till next summer because kids in school and all that stuff. The reality of life getting in the way of other stuff, so...
Well, I can tell you, from my experience, Seattle is definitely, I think, an up-and-coming center of mind share.
That, you have a lot of technology companies up here, both reputable and disreputable. You also have the opportunity, I think that Wi-Fi is going to blanket the downtown area by midsummer 2005. And also it passes the Blade Runner effect, which is you get onto the east side of town and start coming over the bridge and then turn on some of the smooth tracks from Blade Runner. And as you're coming around those turns and you see the city emerge before you, if you sort of feel like you're in the movie, then that's the Blade Runner effect. You can't do that in, like, Des Moines.
Well, on that note, thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Listen to the Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific, or download archived versions of the show at chrisperilloshow.com.